The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Office Inspector General reports details Chicago public school teachers sexually grooming and assaults of their students. Hundreds of Chicago public school teachers sexually groomed, assaulted, and raped CPS Chicago public school students last school year. That's according to the report released this week by the Chicago Public School Office of the Inspector General, which said it received more than 600 adult on student misconduct allegations for the 2021-2022 school year.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, this is a horrible story I am about to share with you, but I think it needs to be addressed. And let's give you a little bit of a disclaimer, because I know this could be a sensitive issue, to say the least. Reports are coming in right now, and these are quite concerning, that hundreds of teachers in the third largest school district in the country reportedly have abused, sexually groomed, assaulted, and have even raped students over a period of decades. And that's according to a new report from the Chicago School District's Office of Inspector General. Over 600 adult on student misconduct allegations were filed with its office, and its office has substantiated more than half of them, over half of them. My heart goes out to anyone who is a victim of abuse. And coming up a little bit later, just to give you some perspective on this, we're going to address that. We're going to deal with a wonderful therapist, and we're going to take a look at we're going to take a look at the signs so you can identify and know whether or not your children are the victims of this. And if they are, how to find healing and how to ultimately move on. I don't know if you remember, I've been on the air here with Relevant now for a while, and I think back, time becomes a blur for me. But back in 2018, Chicago Tribune, they reported on the sexual abuse case taking place in public schools, and what they found was a mess. I mean, there were, of course, reports of everything from rape to lesser kinds of sexual assault. But they also found that the Chicago Public School bureaucracy had no central place for taking care of the issue. No procedures were in place for, you know, what to do when a student reported a sexual assault, and very few records of the reports, you know, that they received. A few records of the reports they did receive, they found that the kids reported what was going on, but they were often ignored. It's kind of what I'm getting at. They were interrogated, some of the kids, sometimes repeatedly, by school officials. Those officials didn't report it to law enforcement, as they were required to do. And as CPS, CPS actually didn't tell other school districts about the problem. And this is part of the problem we saw with this whole abuse crisis, even within the church, you know, when that took place in the past. And, it's got to be reported, and you can't shuffle. You can't take one teacher and let them go teach in another school, right? You just can't do that. You know, when they transferred out of Chicago, they went and they taught somewhere else. I mean, that's a real tragedy. I think the school district's in a lot of trouble. I'm just going to leave it at that. We're going to see how this story unfolds. It's a big one. I wonder how much reporting this will ultimately get. That was back in 2018. I remember talking about this in 15 and 13 as well, but 2018 is what, a little more than 4 years ago? You would think that in 4 years, after this horrible report comes out, the Chicago public school system, that they would do something to clean up their act. New report just came out. This one from the Office Inspector General, the Office of the Inspector General for the schools. It shows there's no such thing, right? I mean, 600 incidences. Think of how many families and lives have been destroyed by that. More than 600 incidents have been alleged during the last school year alone. Yeah, I remember seeing a stat somewhere. I think it was 9.6%. The rate of sexual abuse in public schools. And I got to go dig this stat up. I'll do it in the next break. I remember reading it where in public schools, I think it was almost 10% of kids fall victim to some sort of abuse. And that's 1 in 10 kids. Are your kids going to public schools? And look, I know you might have a public school teacher. You might be one. Not everybody's in here. It is a minority. I'm here to make you aware. According to the Chicago City Wire, more than half of those 600 instances were substantiated. 16 of them resulted in criminal charges. Now, think about this for a moment, okay, just to give you some perspective. 600 allegations of some kind of sexual wrongdoing in one school system, just one school system, right? If something like that can be alleged against Catholics, that would be all over the news. Can you imagine 600 allegations of a Catholic school doing this? Oh, my gosh. CNN, MSNBC, every news outlet, ABC, NBC, CBS, they'd all be all over this. Every newspaper we're writing about it, right? And I'm not making excuses. Believe me, I don't want to do that. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying here. I think any sexual abuse is wrong. One instance is too much. But I just look at the disparity. I look at the disparity. If that was a Catholic school, I think it'd be a lot different. But it's the public school system. Where are you hearing this, right? It's been going on for years. Where's the investigative journalism? Where's the uncovering? Well, you know what happened in 2018? It's been 4 years. This is news again? This is a tragedy, is what it is. I'm joined today by Ted Dabrowski. He's president of WirePoints, an independent nonprofit company that delivers research and commentary about the Illinois economy and government. And you can check him out at wirepoints.org. I invited him to join me today, give us some perspective. And Ted, it's good to have you with me today. I wish we could talk under better circumstances, but I love your take on how you're seeing this, your 30,000-foot view of the events that are now unfolding and how it's being reported and received.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I think the first thing to understand is that the Chicago Public Schools has been not just a fiscally bankrupt place for a long time, but it's also it's a morally bankrupt institution. It's had its share of corruption. We do a lot of the work on Chicago Public Schools analyzing it. And right now, just one out of every 10 Black kids can read at grade level. And for Hispanics, it's two out of every 10. And just like you said, nobody's done anything about the violence, or in this case, sexual assaults. They do nothing to help kids, kids learn. So they're not prepared for the real world. And you have to also know that it's just dominated by union powers. Nothing can be fixed there because the unions dominate, the teachers union, probably the most militant teachers union in the country. So with that backdrop, it's not that difficult to understand that you can have the Tribune, by the way, the Tribune, when they broke that stuff, as you mentioned, in 2018, they had to file a lawsuit to get that information from the Chicago Public Schools. And that's the only way that they really were able to break these massive number of sexual assaults. And then they finally reported it. And with that came the 2019 resolution to create this Inspector General office. And like you say, here they are continuing to assault, continuing to hide. I guess good in some sense that we've got this report to look at.
Yeah.
But it's a disaster, and it's just a proof that this public school system in Chicago really shouldn't be. Kids are getting abused. It's hard to prove these things. The union, of course, doesn't help. And, of course, the media, the traditional media, does not want this out. They're protecting the system.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because I'm just stunned by that. Now, I happen to be Catholic. And, again, what happened in the Catholic Church was absolutely horrific. John Jay does a report. The rate of abuse has really come down. The church put in the proper protocols. There was a mindset a long time ago that, somebody with these proclivities can be rehabilitated. We realize that the rate of recidivism is like 96-97%. So that's a totally different situation. But, the church, and it was 2001 when the Boston Globe broke that story, of national news. So 2018, we have this story. And I think 2015 or 2013, there was another report I read. But bottom line is, we should know the scope, the enormity, and the problem with this. The media was all over the past case. Why don't they care? Why not report on this? I'm sure their children are going to these schools. You may have children or grandchildren, or nieces or nephews that are going to be going to the institutions or in them. This is a serious concern, I think, for parents, or at least it should be. Why is the media so mute, and why is it underreported?
Well, this is the sad part of Chicago, is that you've got the, I don't know what you want to call it, the corporate elite, you got the media elite, you've got the public sector elite, and they're all in the same club. Nobody wants to break the system that's here. And that's why things are perpetuated. That's why crime is the way it is here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Overall, it's become corrupted. So, you know, the traditional media does not want to get in trouble with the mayor. You know, everybody wants to be in the club. And so you're right. You know, we should have outrage. Chicago Public Schools should have seen massive firings back in 2018. This should have been much bigger national news. And yet it died down because the traditional media didn't cover it. And, you know, I also blame the corporate elite a lot, too, because they don't come up, speak up and take on the system. And so when that happens, it allows the whole system to perpetuate itself. And that's why you have, you know, staff, you know, driving students around, calling them, texting them, buying them gifts. It's all part of that report. And you got a lot of grooming going on, and it goes unchallenged.
Yeah, it does. I think that's part of the real problem. One of my producers, he just did a quick search on this to see how many stories are out there. And I'm hoping it picks momentum up. But he says, I didn't find a whole lot of news sources reporting on this. And I just, it really bothers me. To me, that's an outrage. It really is. There were more than 600 reports of this kind of sexual wrongdoing by faculty, staff, administrators. I think even vendors were in the mix. And more than half of them were substantiated. So, you know, I don't know about the other, you know, half, how many of those were false allegations or were somehow excused away. But there were criminal charges brought forward on some of them. What needs to be done to fix this? I mean, what are the next steps? As I was referencing the Catholic Church, they put in certain protocols, the way they you know, filtered men coming into the seminary and who could teach and, you know, who had to be credentialed and who had to be, you know, screened, a whole litany of things that went on in parishes. What are public schools going to do? Because this is just, you know, one school district. I'm imagining this is happening all across the country.
Yeah, I can imagine this probably worse than Chicago public schools just because of the way where it is now. You know, we used to have in Chicago public schools about 430,000 students in 2000. 20 years later, we've lost almost more than a quarter. 120,000 kids have left, have disappeared from the system. So it is a failing system where people, you know, of all income levels, a lot of blacks have left Chicago, Chicago public schools, you know, for all these reasons, right? Whether it's the crime, whether it's the education results, or whether it's the some of these sexual allegations, and it's hard to know how deep this is and how it impacts whether kids want to go to school there or parents want their kids there. But you know, when I look at this and when I look at these kind of examples, and you know, if you know, for any of those people interested, the 138-page report, it, you know, it has some of the section on the sexual allegations, and it goes through and describes some of the examples. You know, one teacher, 12,000 calls and texts to an eighth grader.
Wow.
You know, as part of the whole relationship. I mean, imagine that. There is no future, and I've taken the stance in the last 2 years. I don't think you can incrementally fix the Chicago public schools, and this is an exact reason why. It's too corrupt, and there's between, as I mentioned, all the players who don't want to fix it. I think the real solution, and of course this is a very popular solution on the Catholic radio channel, it's school choice. We've got to give these kids and families opportunities to go somewhere else, because this isn't doing it. This isn't working, and if they don't want to fix it, then really the choice should be given to the parents to have an out and go somewhere else, and maybe a Catholic school.
That's such a great point. All right, we'll go to the phones, take a few calls for you, Ted. If you want to join us, I only have my guest today, maybe another 10 minutes or so, but if you want to dial in, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Maybe you work in the school district. Maybe you've seen this in yours. Maybe you're a victim of it. Feel free to just join the conversation, share your views, or ask your questions. Susie's in Illinois. She's got a comment for you, Ted. Hi, Susie.
Hi, I'm a former CPS teacher, and I would say that it's kind of there are things in place. DCFS hotline is one way. I'm not sure how thorough they're going to be in Illinois, but there are ways of manifesting these issues. Also, I think recently, within the last 2 or 3 years, we have these other departments within CPS. And I think they're pretty serious about identifying it. I think where you get into the cronyism in certain districts of our school district and certain regions, that's where the problem comes in. And I think also from the very top, you've got Mayor Lightfoot, who is not very thorough, and Tim Fox, who is also not very thorough. And I think those things need to be addressed. Those people need to be held accountable for the for the Chicago public school system. And that's it.
All right. Susie, thank you. Ted, I'll let you respond.
Well, I think, you know, there's a very good point raised. First of all, the Department for Children and Family Services, DCFS, that's been a disaster here in Illinois as well. It's just been very poorly managed, lots of mistakes. So it's not like you can turn to good places in Illinois government. But I think there's one other point I wanted to make. I think I just lost it, though. But the other big problem we have in Chicago, and this is a big city problem for all those listeners who are in big cities, is that, you know, we're decriminalizing crime in places like Chicago. We're excusing crime. We're arresting fewer people. We're sentencing fewer people. We're changing. You know, we're dumbing down the sentencing, and so you're seeing more and more crime being allowed. So how do you have the Chicago public schools run by Mayor Lori Lightfoot when she herself is not? You know, she's attacking the police. She's done a very poor job of defending the police. So crime is becoming more rampant, more accepted. And, the criminals are now victims. So how the heck do we think we're going to approach a problem like the one we're talking about in Chicago public schools when the criminals are getting lots and lots of breaks, and oftentimes they're called victims?
You think the Chicago mayor, their Lightfoot, is aware of this? Is she intimately connected to what's going on?
Well, you know, she's aware of everything. I think she's pretty aware. But, when we look at, for example, overall crime in Chicago in 2022 is up 41%. Is she aware of that?
Yes,
but, you know, but what does she do about it? She's, you know, still pursuing policies that that treat criminals like victims. So how do we count on her to be the leader for the Chicago public schools when it comes to sexual assault?
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, these policies in some of these states that want to defund police, and as you point out, there's no consequence for crime, for breaking the law. Another aspect, because I have a few minutes here, the role of teachers' unions in all of this. You would think they'd be outraged. They want to make sure that their ranks are clean, that this is not prolific. Are they covering this up? Are they concerned? Where are they on the issue, and what role do they play, if anything?
Well, you know, I can't speak for exactly how they're handling this because I haven't heard anything from them. And I think in the past they were very quiet. And if you actually look at their former leader, I think he pretty much stayed out of the fray on these 2018 allegations back then. I think he just avoided it.
Mm-hmm.
The union should be taking the lead. You know, this is their teachers. This is their staff. And they should, you know, protect the ones that do things well and do things right. And, of course, prosecute the ones doing criminal activity. But no, this teachers union, and it's at the heart of the problem for Chicago public schools, is that this is a jobs program for teachers. It's no longer an educational institution. As I mentioned, you know, just one out of every 10 black kids reads at grade level throughout the whole system, and two out of 10 Hispanic kids, they don't teach anymore. They just move them through the system. It doesn't matter. They don't care if they can perform. Yeah, it's fascinating. I just gave you those stats about who can read at grade level and do math at grade level.
Yeah, right.
And yet, they have record graduation at close to 85%. So they're graduating the kids. So this is all a much deeper problem. It's a sexual assault problem, but embedded in that is the power of the teachers' union and the lack of leadership and management by those in power.
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah, I think I sit back and I think, okay, well, what's going to come from this? As a parent, one, I'd want my child, first of all, to be safe, and if it was abused in any way, to get the help, the treatment it needs. But I also want the perpetrator to have to be accountable and face some sort of justice for that. And then the institution at large, I would think, you know, they're probably in store for some major litigation. Are schools in Illinois, are they exempt from being sued for this kind of thing, or are they going to have major lawsuits? Can parents go through the courts when a teacher has done something horrific, like is being now reported, or is there some immunity there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the precise legal path there. So I can't give any detail on that. But, you know, clearly a lot of these cases do make it, you know, the criminal charges are filed. And as we've seen, some of them have resulted in criminal charges. But I don't know the precise path.
Well, we're talking, if you're just joining us, and I have a moment or two left with my guest, Ted Dabrowski, about a report that just broke. And I'm highlighting this story. It took place in Chicago. The Chicago Tribune, a reputable source, reported on sexual abuse taking place in the public schools there. And they found just an absolute mess, is really what they found. Over 600 adult and student allegations that were filed within their office. More than half of them have been substantiated. And this should give every parent pause, because this is Chicago. What about Philly? What about L.A.? What about different parts of the country? And look, I had a sister. She just retired, sister-in-law, who taught in public schools. There's some great public school teachers. And not every public school teacher, like every priest, is bad. In fact, the majority of them are good. But there, this report was indicating it's everything from, you know, gym teachers to vendors. I mean, you'd be surprised at the grooming that has taken place. And we're just talking a little bit about what's now being reported. I will be talking to you a little bit about the signs of sexual abuse. You might say, well, I'm a little concerned about my kid. How do I know? We'll look at that and much more. But let me grab another phone call for you, Ted, before we run out of time. Roy is in Madison, Wisconsin. Roy, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. And I'm not sure if you guys want to go into my question, my topic, but he sounds pretty learned about what's going on. And I just wanted to get his opinion. I live in Madison, Wisconsin, sir, so I'm in the heart of the beast. And I wondered if you think, sir, this whole teachers' union, the whole thing with the kids' abuse, the whole thing is part of the worldwide reset by the liberals, and George Soros headed them up, of course, worldwide to bring America down. And I just want to get if he thinks this is just another tying in the fork. And I just, if it's too much, too deep, then I understand. But I just wanted to get his opinion if this is the part of another thing of the whole thing of destroying America.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much, Roy. You want to handle that, Ted?
Well, you know, I'm not the biggest conspiracy theorist guy. What I see is just incremental and increasing power all the time by all the different groups. You know, when I think about teachers' unions, I think about, you know, all the money that's spent in education, the billions and billions, and it's certainly the case in Illinois and in Chicago. There's so much money spent. You've got pensions behind it. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of power. It's just massive power. They've amassed power, and they're holding it. And the way to hold power is to be nasty and aggressive, and that's what we see the Chicago Teachers Union do. So this is a sad case of the parents have ceded too much power. You know, the taxpayers have ceded too much power to the government, and we're a little stuck here, and you know, it needs to be taken back.
Speaking of teachers and unions, Tom's listening to us in Tucson, Arizona, on 104.9. We just went on in that city, and it's good to have Tom with us. Tom, good afternoon. You're on the air with Ted Dabrowski.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for being in Tucson. See, Ted, my question is, you know, as a professional, I've always had to carry E&O and professional liability. After Sarbanes-Oxley, we see, you know, criminal charges for financials. You know, a CFO can go to prison even if they weren't even involved, right? Because somebody beneath them was responsible. How come these unions are protected from all of that? How come the private sector, you know, we're liable for anything. If I look sideways at a client, I can get sued. You know, why is there so much protection for these public workers?
Great question.
Yeah, you know, you're making me think of some research I need to do on that, because I haven't studied protection of workers. But clearly, you know, I mean, I know the reason why. When you look at, and again, this is more Illinois-based, and it, you know, might be the case for you know, those places that have these big cities like the Philadelphia and Pennsylvania and others. Where the unions have just gained outsized power, maybe California, New York. The politicians, and you know, sadly, the politicians of the unions are in bed with each other. They support each other, big campaign support, mm-hmm. big law support the other way. And so you can imagine that in order to keep everybody happy and to keep the political system and the union system happy,
they need to take care of each other. And one of those things is you have to limit liability for, for the power of the unions. So it doesn't surprise me, although I have to do a little bit of research to give you the precise answer on that. Yeah. But when I look at
policy,
that's exactly it.
Yeah, and I certainly don't want to, I mean, I'm not encouraging more insurance, but I can tell you that that would take care of it, right? Once they're required to carry errors and emissions insurance and liability insurance, like everybody else, oh, this problem will become in check pretty darn quick, because the insurance companies aren't going to be paying out these claims.
That's
they're going to get that reeled in really fast when it comes to the power of the purse.
Yeah. Hey, money talks. Go ahead, Ted. I'll give you final thoughts. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, the last thing we need to do is, I'm very cautious now when we talk about some of the, this is not a bad idea that was mentioned just now,
right.
But we need to avoid these incremental fixes to these schools, because we can't do a patchwork of fixes on all the failures of these schools. And it really is, we got to just push the hell out of, excuse my French, but out of school choice. We need vouchers, education, yeah. Savings accounts, more
right.
ways of kids finding their way out of the schools, because they're not going to fix them. They need to be broken, and they need to be, they need some little competition.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, and it probably really is a solution, a great place to start. Tom, thank you for your call. Hey, Ted, thank you. I hope people will check you out at wirepoints.org, and I look forward to talking to you again. I know this story is developing, and I'm sure we'll have another opportunity, so I look forward to that.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Thanks. That's Ted Dabrowski. He is the president of Wirepoints. You can check him out at wirepoints.org. I was looking very quickly for a quick piece of data that I had come across a long time ago, and this goes all the way back. I was reporting on this, I forget what year it was, but the study that was done, there was a study, the AP was reporting between 2001 and 2005. So that's a long time ago, right? They were looking at sexual misconduct. And they found solid research that the U.S. Department of Education, found that 9.6% of children in public schools have been sexually abused. As I said, it was almost 10%, right? So just doing some rough numbers, a conservative estimate means that 4 million children are walking around today who probably been molested by a teacher. And that was something that I reported on a decade ago, five years, 10 years ago. How many more have now been victimized? And with this report now coming out of Chicago, I hope it pulls back the veil. I hope it opens the curtain on what's happening in a lot of these schools. Hey, our kids deserve it. They're vulnerable. We have a duty to those kids. When I come back, I want to talk with a very gifted doctor. He's known for healing, though, dealing with healing and forgiveness, especially those with trauma. And if you've been sexually abused, physically abused, verbally abused, if you've suffered any sort of abuse, you know how it can really mess with your head, how it can derail your direction. So many kids end up on drugs and in bad relationships and doing things that they never would have. And I think it's a tactic of the evil one. You can see how evil begets destruction. It really does. When I come back, I'll share with you some of the conduct that can be considered sexual abuse in a school setting and some signs of sexual abuse in children abused in school, some things you may not know. And, of course, we'll talk about how to heal. If you want to join the conversation, phones are open for you. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Well, it is good to be here with you today. Thank you for tuning in and allowing us to be part of your afternoon. It's great to be here with you today. Quick programming note, Patrick Madrid is going to be hosting Father Rocky's Rosary tomorrow and Wednesday, right? Am I right, Maggie? Tuesday, Wednesday. That is tomorrow, right? Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be on Thursday and Friday, so if you want to tune into that, we'd love to have you. It's always good to be able to talk with you. Hey, if you're just joining us, we are taking a look at a couple different issues. One of the things I want to talk about today is the Chicago report that came out, and it's a harrowing one. We're going to be joined by Dr. Kalponis in just a moment, and I want to address the issue of abuse, how to find healing and how to find forgiveness. But before I do, I promised I would share with you just a couple tips. Signs of sexual abuse in children abused in school. How do you identify if your kids are vulnerable? A couple really simple things. I came across a report today. I thought I'd share it with you. One, suspicious or inappropriate text messages from the teachers or those in authority. Frequent phone calls to your child from a teacher or other school staff members outside of the school. Sudden behavioral changes in your child. And maybe withdrawn from social activities. That's a big one, I think. Unexplained physical marks on your child's body, and then direct accusations of abuse. If your kids tell you that, you definitely have got to respond. You've got to do so immediately. Also, the other thing I think is important for you to identify is, you know, what's considered sexual abuse in a school setting? Well, inappropriate sexual comments made by a teacher. That's not okay. Okay, it's not. Whether it's the counselor, the coach, the administrator, they can range from subtle come-ons to very blatant harassment. Exposing students to pornographic images or attempting to photograph students, you know, in inappropriate ways, very creepy. And that happens. That happens. Also, spying on students while they're changing or showering. If you hear about that, report it. Marking sexual contact with students or performing sexual acts, and I won't go into some of the other details here. Sexual assault should always be reported. And then, of course, this is a horrible one, using threats to coerce students into performing certain acts or acting inappropriately. And it goes on and on. You've got to address this, and you've got to address it almost immediately. This is a tragedy. I don't want to overplay it, but I think it's so important because one case of abuse is too much. You know, the Chicago Public Schools, they're at the crosshairs right now, but they're not alone. There was a report done in 2005 by the Department of Education, as I was sharing. Nearly 10% of students in public schools across the country have been sexually abused or harassed by somebody who's supposed to be a teacher or somebody who's supposed to be protecting them. And it doesn't stop there. According to victims of crime.org, self-report studies show that 20% of adult females and 5 to 10% of adult males recall a child sexual assault or an abuse incident. Let me give you one more. A National Institute of Justice report shows that 3/4 of adolescents who have been sexually assaulted were victimized by somebody they knew well. Now, those statistics are dated. I think with a high prevalence of pornography, I'm sure those numbers are a lot higher. As I said, they're old stats that I had come across a while ago. There's probably a lot more sexual abuse taking place today than has ever been reported. But the amount of abuse taking place at homes is something that is hard to quantify. But the question is, if you have been abused, how do you heal from it? And that's what we want to look at, right? Where do we go from here? This is ugly. This is ugly. It'd be very easy for our society to focus on the event and start calling out the abusers. But I think the most important thing right now is how do you heal, right? How do you forgive? And if you're victimized, what do you do? There's a wound deep within you. And I know I might be speaking to some people who this is really resonating with. I've invited Dr. Peter Kalponis. He's a licensed clinical therapist and Director of Comprehensive Counseling Services in West Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. He's been with us many times in the past, co-authored a number of works with a former regular guest of ours, Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons, and you can find him at their website, maritalhealing.com. It's a great website. Dr. Kalponis, good to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, this is such a horrible issue to talk about, but it's something I'm sure you deal with in your practice all the time. People are called to forgive and to heal. The prevalence of sexual abuse, in your opinion, is it underestimated right now? How prevalent is it? How prolific is it?
I believe it is underestimated, and that's because of the shame associated with it. You know, so many people don't report it. They feel such shame. They feel if they do, that somehow they'll be blamed for it. They'll get in trouble for it. You know, there are actually people who do care for their abusers and don't want their abuser to be getting into trouble.
Yeah.
So there are many different factors in this, but there are a lot of this is just never reported.
Yeah, and that's tragic. It really is. That's why I think sometimes parents don't know. I mean, that's the other tragedy. That's why I was trying to highlight just some of the simple signs, and there are many other signs, I'm sure, there. With so many people walking around it, you know, with these wounds, how do you start the healing process? This is often a very shameful thing for some people. I mean, how do you confide with your parent or somebody else, and how do you get the help that you need?
Well, first, the first thing that a person needs to recognize is that, you know, if you were sexually abused, you're not at fault. You're not to blame. All right. So many people will blame themselves for this, saying, well, you know, I participated in this. Maybe they even enjoyed it to some degree. But they have to realize that this is a definite abuse of power. Right. And that's what sexual abuse is. It's a violation of authority over someone. So it's usually someone, the teacher, who has the authority over the student who is the minor in this. So, you know, so the minor is never to fault, never to blame for this, right? They're the ones that are victimized, and that's the first thing you have to recognize. All right. The next thing to do is to really talk to someone that you trust with this, knowing that, you know, most people today won't blame anybody for reporting that they've been sexually abused. You know, maybe 50 years ago that would have been different, but today, because we are so much better educated on this as a society, when someone reports that they've been sexually abused, they will be taken seriously with this.
Yeah.
Right? And it is a process of forgiveness. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean there won't be any justice. All right? Definitely there can be justice. But forgiveness is about not holding on to it. You know, not holding on to the anger, the resentment, the pain, being able to let go, and that leads to freedom. And that is so important for someone who has been trapped in the guilt and the shame of abuse.
Yeah, it's there is healing, though. I want people to know that. I mean, it's such a deep wound that sometimes you think, I'll never get over this. I'll never find healing. I'll never have my life back again. And, and I know that might be the case. You might feel that way, but there is healing. And I know you've seen that. How much does forgiveness play into this? Because, you know, when you're wounded, you don't want to forgive. You want vengeance. You know, you want an eye for an eye. You want that person to suffer like they made you suffer. How does one get to that point?
Well, and again, forgiveness doesn't mean there won't be justice.
Yeah.
All right. Justice needs to be served. But what forgiveness is, it's about letting go. Letting go of the anger, letting go of the resentment, letting go of the desire for revenge, right? And revenge and justice are two totally different things.
Right.
But it is about letting go and wanting to move on with your life, because when we get stuck in the anger and the resentment, we get stuck in our lives and we get trapped, you know. So if a person has been abused in their early teen years and they hold on to that anger and that resentment for the rest of their lives, it's like they're still trapped in those early teen years. They're not able to move on with their lives and progress and mature in a healthy way. So letting go is so important in this.
Yeah,
all right?
That's so true.
And as I said before, that doesn't mean there won't be justice. There definitely can be justice, but we have to let go.
My guest today is Dr. Peter Klaponis. I'm grateful for his time and how busy he is. I need to take a short pause. Doctor, when we come back, let's take a few phone calls and we can certainly talk more. If you want to get in, you got a question, a comment, maybe it's somebody you know that's suffering in this way. My window's short, only 10, 15 minutes left to spend with you today. So this is your chance. 888-914-9149 is the direct number to get in. We'll take your calls, take your comments, and see if we can help, okay? 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining me. I'll take your calls. As I often say, the sand is draining through the hourglass. Coming to the end of our time together. So if you want to get in, feel free to dial in. 888-914-9149. If you're on hold, I'll do my very best to get you on. We're speaking today with Dr. Peter Klaponis. I just have one quick programming note. updated website for you. You can just go to his name, petercalponis.com. Best way to connect to him. And you can check out Integrity Counseling Services. Integrity Counseling Services. And let's jump into the phones. Well, before I go back to the phones, if you're just joining me, there was a report that broke in Chicago. The public schools there horrible accounts of abuse over the past 4 years. And it raised for me questions. Okay, if this is happening in Chicago, I'm sure it's happening in other areas. And it's not just schools. It's not just churches. You know, it's not just, you know, it's families. It's a lot of these different places where this takes place. So what's the next step? What's the most important thing? We've got to find healing. We've got to find ways to heal these wounds. How do you do that? So that's why I invited Dr. Kloponis with us. And Dr. Counseling, I'm assuming, is a big part of that.
Counseling is a big part of it. And I think especially with a counselor that is familiar with the treatment of trauma, right? Because that's what this is. You know, any type of sexual abuse is traumatizing. You know, what is trauma? That's when you're put in a situation where your physical or emotional well-being are threatened and you have no control over it. You are completely helpless. And that's terrorizing. That's terrifying. Right, and you don't quickly get over that. So, and we know for a fact that sexual abuse is traumatizing. You know, you're basically put in a situation where you're at the under the control of a person that's older than you and stronger than you.
Yeah. All right, well, let's do this. Let's go to the phones. Mary is listening in California. Mary, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon. I just wanted to comment on that, what you just said, being abused and molested since I was 6 by different members of my family. I was able to put to rest, you know, some of the guilt and anger and frustration by going to therapy and opening up about it in the first place. And actually talking to the person, one of the persons that caused that trauma, and letting go. I think that is like the hardest part, is letting go and realizing that you never had anything to do with it. Yeah. That what happened, happened, and it was never your fault.
Yeah.
You know?
Mary,
that has a lot to do with faith.
And that's a great point, Mary. I'm very sorry to hear what you had to go through. And doctor, I want you to follow up with her. She went to the person and addressed it. And, you know, forgiving does not mean forgetting. It also does not mean justice, right? I mean, if there is somebody who victimizes or abuses somebody, you know, there should be some justice dealt to that person. But I'd love you to address that and then follow it up on the faith angle, because that's such an important part. How important does one's relationship with God playing this, because often abuse can affect one's relationship with God as well.
It can. You know, a person may think, you know, well, where was God when I was being abused? Why wasn't God protecting me? You know, and it's hard to recognize that, you know, even through all this, God was still there, God loving you, you know, because God also looks at the perpetrator and sees the perpetrator as a very deeply wounded person. You know, you have to ask yourself, you know, would a normal, healthy, loving, rational human being ever treat another human being that way? Right? The answer is no. That perpetrator is also a very deeply wounded person. You know, and God loves that person too.
Yeah,
there can be a lot of questions asked, and, you know, and sometimes it can help, you know, not just therapy, but even just talking to a priest about where is God in all this. And that can be a helpful thing, some spiritual direction in that.
Yeah. Mary, thank you for your call. I'm going to move along, so I have a few minutes left. Karen is in Sacramento, California. Karen, good afternoon.
Oh, hi. How are you doing? And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to help a friend of mine who I met in the park, and he's homeless. And when he was younger, he was raped by a priest. His brother also was raped by this priest, and his brother committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend is having all these dreams and stuff, and I'm trying to find some way to, what can I, pray, of course, I believe in
mm-hmm.
God, and I know God's going to answer this, you know, God's going to heal mm-hmm. him, and, you know, he's forgiving, but it's just so hard. And let me tell you one incident. When he was old enough to refuse sex with this
priest. Mary, I don't want to get too descriptive here, so I'm going to put you on hold for just a second. I think we got you, get your point here. Doctor, some advice for Karen in this situation? Because look, she hit on something I think is really important for us to talk about. It's whether it's a teacher, whether it's a priest, whether it's a family member. Quite often you see the victims of abuse carry this with them, and then you'll see drug abuse. You'll see, you know, codependent relationships. You'll see incredible dysfunction. You'll see this carry out throughout their life. So her question is really a question for all people. What, you know, how do you help those who are wounded like this? And you know, how do you ultimately help them find that healing?
Well, you know, you want them to direct them to people that can help them, resource people. You know, for example, if it was someone associated with a diocese, most dioceses have victims assistance offices that they can contact for help. You know, but again, it's really putting them in contact with a therapist that can not only help them heal from this, but also direct them to other sources, other resources that can be helpful for them too. So, you know, and there's a lot of help out there. There are therapists, there are support groups out there. There's a lot of education out there. So, you know, I think what's important is to recognize that when a person is struggling with the effects of abuse, they're not alone and there is help available.
All right. Hey, Karen, thank you for your compassion. I'm glad you're out there helping. Do what you can. Of course, as you pointed out, prayer is important, but there's a lot of resources out there too, right, doctor? People can
There is. There are a
them.
Lot.
Is there one you want to recommend?
It's very, very difficult. You know, what I would recommend is really, you know, looking for therapists in your area that specialize in trauma. And you can Google that, you know, if there are trauma therapists in my area, or trauma therapist in my town, whatever your town is, and you'll probably find a lot of resources on the internet for that.
How important is a Catholic therapist?
Well, I think a Catholic therapist is important for people of faith because, you know, the therapist can incorporate spirituality into the healing process, you know, really bring God into it and help people know that, yeah, God still loves me and there's no need for me to carry any shame because of what happened.
Yeah. All right, Diane in Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, G. Thanks for taking my call. Just a simple but profound little statement is, you know, I find is forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves. It's, you know, no matter what kind of abuse someone's been through, whether it's mentally, physically, spiritually, it's if we harbor hatred.
Yeah.
Our anger, it just can, even if we plant, keep that seed planted in us, it can fester and grow and become like a cancer within us. And you can be, we'll end up like bitter old people someday, you know. And, but like if we just, this is, you know, I just say if we do what God asks us to do, love one another, you know, to forgive our enemies, love our enemies, which is probably some of the most difficult things we can do in our lifetime. But if we turn to him and get our minds out of the whirlwind, out of the tornado in life, and step out of it where the sky is blue, knowing that the sun is always shining behind the storm,
Amen.
And focus on his word, and focus on him, not on the abuse, and it's a gift we give ourselves.
It is a gift, Diane, and you're right. They often say when you fail to forgive, you're tethered to the person who perpetrated that harm against you. Doctor, you're the expert here on this. Mm-hmm. You've written books. It's a really important issue for us to really highlight here. How important is forgiving? And forgiveness is really, it's a process, you know? It's an act of the will as well, but how do you make it through that process? Because when you are so hurt and so wounded, it's hard.
I know it is hard, but it's coming to the realization that holding on to the anger and the resentment doesn't serve you.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't change the person that hurt you. Really, it changes you. It leaves you, like the person said, a very bitter old person. So, and it does, you know, when you hold on to that anger, you're holding on to the person that hurt you. You're holding on to the events that occurred. You know, you're not able to move forward with your life. So when you forgive, it is a process of letting go, not only letting go of what happened, but letting go of the person altogether. Yeah. And that's what's needed.
Now, do you have is there a website or a book you might want to recommend to somebody?
There actually is a very good book that I can recommend. It's called The Forgiving Life. and it's written by a Dr. Robert Enright, E-N-R-I-G-H-T.
Oh, sure. Bob Enright, right.
And, you know, he had worked with my former partner, Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons, on developing a plan for healing and forgiveness, which has been very effective.
Yeah. All right, let's take another call or two. Do I have time, Maggie, for a call? You know, Doctor, I only have a minute left. My apologies to everybody on hold. I won't be able to get you some very powerful calls, some very deep hurts and woundedness out there. But my apologies. We'll revisit this. Let's pray for all those who have been the victim of abuse. And if you are suffering from that, there is help and there is healing out there. Pursue those avenues. One of the best areas, too, Doctor, is a final thought, confession. You know, it's not that you are guilty of this, but going to that sacrament of mercy and seeking God's healing, I'll tell you what, it's transforming. And I'm grateful for your time. I'll give you the final 30 seconds, Doc.
Well, you know, and I agree, you know, a lot of times, you know, confession can help us to let go of the anger and the resentment of that all. But it's about letting go, you know, being able to move on with your life, being able to take that horrible experience, put it in the past and keep it there, so that it doesn't affect you now or in the future.
Amen. Well, Doctor, thank you. Looking forward to your website. Check out Dr. Peter Kalponis. You can go to his website. It is his name. I'm out of time for the day. The Kel Clark Show is coming up. Stay tuned. More to come.